Welcome to Canine Nose Time Podcast. Hi, Danielle.
Hello. So last Sunday, we had the level one exterior trial in Jewel, which was a lot of fun. There were a lot of competitors and a lot of success.
There was a lot of competitors. We ended up, and I hosted it as Canine Nose Time, and we ended up with 57 competitors. On the day, which was a lot, and we split them into two groups. So that meant that the hides were out pretty much from 8 a.m. till when the last dog ran at, I don't know, maybe 2:30. So there were four search areas, and they were all exterior, sort of nose work one level. But with any element trials, you get a bit more variety than maybe you would get in a regular nose work one exterior. Because just location and the different search areas, depending on what is available for the CO as well. And Rosie was the CO. And I thought, I ran my dog as well because I was hosting, but I thought the searches were really fun.
Extremely fun. For me, it was all a blur because my searches were very quick. But I really... They were just really nicely spaced out, really nicely sort of contained areas that weren't too small but also weren't too big. I loved the second search, which was a lovely little scene. I think it was like the teddy bears were cowboys and it was some sort of shootout amongst the teddy bears outside a barn. It was so cute.
That was all Rosie. That was really good. And I think the hide was in a gun being held, yes, by a teddy.
Yes.
And I think that sort of tripped up a lot of the handlers.
I mean, I have to admit, I did second guess it a bit. I'm like, well, is it going to be in that? But Nettle indicated pretty clearly that it was in that. So I'm like, okay, just going to call it.
And that's what I think. And what was your time for that? I mean, you're saying you second guessed yourself, but I'm pretty sure
it was like 5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know how second guessy that is.
Well, I think you said we came second in that search, so I think if I hadn't have second guessed, maybe we would have come first.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I'm just looking for the pass rate because the pass rate was really high too.
Yeah.
And when I say I think it tripped up a lot of people, everyone, like, there was a really high pass rate. I'm pretty sure it was 90%.
Yeah.
So what I mean when I say it tripped up a lot of people is they just second guessed and took a little bit longer because they were doing some thinking for themselves rather than, and I did too. Like, it took me almost as a surprise, and I don't know, I think my time was 15 seconds or something, but, it took me almost as a surprise going, oh, wow, yeah, it's in a gun.
Yeah. Alert. That was my thought process as well.
I think that was really interesting, and it really, like, that is when you do have to trust your dog or trust your training. That when
I guess there were some people who thought maybe their dog was just interested in the gun and were not alerting, perhaps.
I think for some people that gun and the scene would have come across as a distractor. So that, I think some people, especially if you're trialing with ANKC, you go, oh, that's a distractor, I'm not going to alert on that.
Right, yep.
Or, I'm that's sort of what I sort of heard.
No, yeah. And I can see how if you've done more of the ANKC style trials, that would be more of a habit of you to just, when you're in a search area, you'd have that sort of thought processing.
Yeah, and I think with ANKC, you're always thinking a little bit extra because, yeah, there's a lot more things sort of out to trick you, I guess. But, yeah, I think it was a really good search because it did get people thinking and just, well, got them thinking afterwards that they had to just believe what their dog was showing them. And 90% pass rate, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, me too.
And all of the searches had an above 90% pass rate, and the overall pass rate was 81%, I think.
That sounds familiar. And I think, I mean, it was interesting because it didn't seem to shift across the day, right? Like there were similar pass rates throughout the day.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And because it really did heat up and a lot of these searches were in the sun, it was humid as well.
Yep.
But the progression was really good. And there was a lot of opportunity for dogs to go to the toilet between searches, which I really appreciated.
Yep.
And as the host, I was running my dog first, and that's all I could think of was like, do not pee in the search area. Do not pee. I'd set the whole trial up for a fail. But that was such a significant statistic for me at the end of the day, that not one dog eliminated peed in any of the search areas. And I was more impressed with that than the pass rate. Like,
no, I think that's pretty amazing. And I think you're right. I think it was literally just that the environment was really conducive to it, because the most attractive places to pee, if I was a dog, would have been all those bushes and stuff in between the searches, right?
Exactly.
So it was really good. And having that experience for your dog, if your dog is a peer, how good would that have been to do four back-to-back searches without peeing in a search area? Like I feel like that's really good for confidence building for handlers and for dogs as well, to build their focus on just the searches.
And I have a dog that likes to mark in, you know, wherever she goes. And that I was so pleased just with that good experience of doing four searches, exterior searches back to back. And it's not like other dogs haven't been there. It's not a dog training facility or anything, but there have been other, you know, they trialed there 2 months ago. The owner of the property actually probably hadn't been there for a while, but you know, there have been other animals. There's lots of rabbits. Yep. There's, yep, you know, lots of distractors there. And I was, yeah, that was a really impressive statistic, I think. And yeah, really good training for, even though it was only, you know, a level one, it was really good training. And I think a lot of dogs, when they don't understand the task,
yeah,
that is often something that they resort to, is, you know, peeing in a search area. So that's also, for me, I think it sort of showed where all the teams were at as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a great group of trialers showed up. And the ones that didn't, you know, the majority of teams, maybe they didn't get their title on the day, but got a leg. So got 3 out of 4. So next time, you know, they only need to get 3 out of 4 as well for the level one exterior.
And I think it's important also to just say that, like, any team can just miss one search. You know what I mean? Like, even experienced teams, experienced dogs and handlers, like, it's not a failure or any, it's just, you know, in that particular search, it didn't work out for that team. It's, you know, and I don't think it's necessarily a measure of how good your dog is, how good you are, etc.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of the time the odors, they, you know, they run, they, you know, transfer somewhere else, and the dog and the handler, you know, anything can happen in these searches.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Nettle had a really borderline call on the third one because it was quite high for her. It was on the table. And, you know, because that particular setup is more of a challenge for her. If she hadn't have got it just in the parameters, I would have, you know, that would have been okay, because she's an inexperienced dog with heights. She's a little dog. She's still learning how to source those types of hides. And, you know, every individual team has their own things that they're working on at any given time as well.
Yeah, it is a short dog problem thing, I think, with those higher hides, especially when they're new and they maybe don't have as much stick to odor, where you can't rely so much on like them sourcing it, where they just give you the change of behavior and you're like, oh, it's up there, but not quite clear enough. But speaking of newer dogs, I had a few students that this was their first sort of major trial after doing their ORTs. And gosh, they you know, they did so well. I mean, everybody did well. But this was, you know, it was their first sort of big outing with their dogs. And I was so pleased with how they went. And I know they were really pleased with how they went as well. But it got me thinking just about a few things that we could, well, I guess, first of all, maybe it's a good idea to talk about what happens in a trial when you maybe do take a little bit longer. And even like, even though, and even me personally, my times were all under, I don't know, 15 seconds or something, but compared to what I do in training, that was a long delay for what, how I usually train. So even for me and my dog, who's a fairly experienced dog, I have, just by doing those four, you know, fast searches, I have mixed up exactly, you know, the information that I'm giving her compared to what I consistently give her in training.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, it's just a couple of seconds, but for dogs, that's eons.
Yep.
So I thought we could talk a little bit about that. Do you think you did that with Nettle? And Rory's probably, Natalie ran Rory, so that's
probably. Yeah, my sister ran Rory. And and he's a slow dog, but all of his times were, I think, under 25 seconds, like 25 seconds and under. So that was still pretty good for slow Rory.
Yeah.
But so with Nettle, I think I want to call alert whenever she is sure that she has found something. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And sometimes that's not going to be when I'm 100% certain, because it's a blind hide. I don't know. And that, I think, is the biggest difference for me. For most of our training, I try to know where the hide is, right? So that's why I'm always quicker to call it in training. And that's why I think dogs get a bit freaked out when, in a trial situation, we wait that little bit longer to give them the information they're used to receiving when they find a hide. So for me, I want to, if Nettle goes in and I can see the change of behavior, I can see the sourcing behavior, because she does this cute little kind of swimmy thing around Oda that I love to watch. And the minute she puts nose on source, and I can just sense in her body tension and position that she's sure that she found it, that's just when I call it. And yeah, that sometimes she won't be right because she's still learning, and sometimes she's fringing a bit. But what I don't want to do for her at this stage of her training is to totally ignore what she's done and kind of give her confusing information from me that maybe she wasn't right, which I think can happen in a trial, because you're kind of like, I'm not totally sure. You've given me this kind of alert. What do I do? And then I've seen dogs, and even Nettle's done this a bit, where she kind of looks at me and you can kind of see her confidence kind of go down. She's like, was I not right? Was I wrong? What do I do? And then maybe she'll wander off and do something else. And I don't really want that sort of deflation to happen in a search.
And I think that's the difference, maybe, with, say, a dog like Rory or Syrah, who are more experienced. They have more of that background, so that when we do put them in a trial, there's not a lot of sort of, maybe there's been a bit of a delay, but, you know, they take it in their stride, and, you know, their clarity is still there for them, because they've got so much history of fast rewarding, good timing, reward placement, you know, all of these other things that the newer dogs maybe don't have. And maybe that's where I think, particularly with newer dogs, we have to be a little bit more careful when they've done a trial to make sure that we, you know, put some of that money back in the bank, so to say.
Totally.
And it's such a good analogy that every time you trial, you're making a withdrawal from your training bank.
Yep.
And after you've done a trial, that you need to make some deposits into that.
Yeah, because I don't want my young dog to feel that trialing is any different, really, to training. do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of her, like, just the joy and the fun and me having fun as well. Like, I don't want it to be this stressful, you have to show me the thing, sort of pressure.
Well, it's an interesting topic because, like, I try and like say to myself, I want to train, I want to trial how I train. But you still, even though that's your intention, you don't. There's all these other things that are happening. You have nerves, you have longer waiting times at the start line. There's all of the you might have different traits. You might be a little bit more flustered.
People, judges that you're not familiar with, people watching you.
So even though I like to say I trial like I train, I really, there are still a lot of differences that I'm sure the dogs pick up on. And for experienced dogs, they can sort of maybe take it in their stride a little bit more. But for the newer dogs, I think we do have to be fairly careful and I'm not saying, definitely not saying don't trial. I mean, that's part of the fun. And I just think that we have to be conscious of what we are, what effects these might have on our dogs. So that, because we've sort of spoken about some of the things that maybe would impact or that are a little bit different in a trial, what are some things that would put money back in the bank?
Known heights to you, motivational searches for your dog.
Yeah, hard placement in like their happy, I'm making a to the video. Yeah, that's really useful. How dogs have that sort of, they have their favorite sort of height for hides. I think fast rewarding for a while, not waiting so much for final responses, just really bringing some of that clarity back with your reward timing. And that's what I, when you said you waited for a decision, even in training, after a trial, and if I'm trying to put money back in the bank, I probably don't even do that. I'm more likely to just, build some of that, particularly with, I mean, the newer dog that I'm running at the moment is Buddy, and particularly with a dog like Buddy, I'm probably, I think trialing would definitely take a bit of a toll on his progress. And he's not quite as experienced as Nettle even. So yeah, it'll be interesting when we start to trial.
And I think that's a really good point to not necessarily wait for the decision, but focus on nose on source. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. So that just
Because,
they know what pays.
yes, I agree. And I think that that's something I need to remind myself, because for Rory, he actually doesn't like it when I do that, because he likes to make decisions. And you can almost see him go, oh, you just fed me, but I wasn't quite finished. Do you know what I mean? So I have to remind myself that Nettle is not Rory a lot of the time when I'm doing my training, because she does need more. She needs that history. She needs that reinforcing history. She's not experienced.
And Sarah, if I reward too fast for Sarah, or if say it's an inaccessible hide, she'll keep working. She'll eat the treat and then she'll be like, wait, not done here yet. I don't think she cares so much that I interrupted with a treat, but she still wants to finish the puzzle. And I do it sometimes, but I remember, Jill Marie said you better always better to be too early than too late.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Okay, so that's, I think, honestly, open boxes is a really good way to get build some of that clarity back, and a little bit of just the dog has a bit of fun. I think there's never any bad, any fallout from doing some paired open boxes. I think it's particularly when you're training sort of the dog driven searching that I think they can really build some more motivation and drive and just clarity from that.
And I think also, as well as like your dog's sort of preferred height and placement, you For me, for my dogs, the backyard is their favorite place to search. Like, you would be surprised how animated Rory gets in the backyard. He almost like picks up speed and looks a bit like a border collie. So, like, I also think about your dog's happy place, because that's also important. So doing searches in their favorite place where they get to, be off lead and just have fun with it, I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, I think the motivation part of it is important as well, because even though some of these hides were just, some of these searches were just one hide, by the time you get to the fourth search and you've already, particularly for some of the newer teams that I know waited a little bit longer, they asked their dog for a little bit more than they ever would in training. By the time they get to the fourth search, the dog has already had a bit of a decrease in motivation. And because we've muddied the waters by changing what we do as the handler.
Yeah.
Drills, even. I like drills. I know some. I think drills are great.
I think it depends on the drill, right? If you're doing drills that are based on building drive and motivation and success, that's fine. If you're doing a whole heap of drills that are over your dog's skill level, that's a whole other thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Skill appropriate drills.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, if I was stressing about Nettle working elevated hides, then I might come away from the weekend going, oh, I need to drill her on tabletop hides over her head at this height. And, if I get that too much in my head, I might do drills to the point of getting her a bit demotivated.
Oh my God, that's so, you know, when you go to a trial and somebody, you have a conversation with people after, and I even do it myself, and you've just either missed a search, or you've come up against a problem that you've haven't successfully, your dog hasn't found it, and at the end you're like, okay, I've got to practice such and such. I know people particularly do it for distractors.
Yes.
And the chances are you're not going to see that puzzle in a trial again.
No.
I'm not saying don't train it. I'm just,
It's just something to be aware of,
yeah.
and just think about your dog's overall skill set and just, keep building it all.
Yeah. And maybe introduce it at an achievable level.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Well, okay. Thanks, Danielle, for the debrief of the level one exterior. I thought it was super fun, and I'm super proud of all my students and all the people that came to support the trial. It was really good. It was, I think, the biggest trial we've had in New South Wales. So that
It
was
was a lot of
awesome.
fun. And it
Yeah.
seemed like everyone was having fun. Lots of positivity. It was good.
Yeah, really good pass rate. It was just nice to see so many people out happy with their dogs. Yeah, so that was awesome. All right, I will catch up with you next time.
Yep. See you next time.
Bye.